Welcome. I'm Maria White, professional organizer, owner of Enough With The Stuff, and host of this podcast, Organize Your Stuff. I am thrilled you're joining me for a listen today. I will share tips on getting organized in all areas of your life, so stay tuned for simple tips or interviews with industry experts sharing their unique methods and insights for getting your home and life organized once and for all. This podcast will provide support, encouragement, and motivation along the way. I hope while you are listening, the topic will resonate and inspire you to organize your stuff. Welcome everyone, I'm Maria White and your host of Organize Your Stuff with special guest Kelly Knowles. Kelly is a certified color code personality trainer. In her Kelly K consulting business, she coaches individuals and groups on discovering, developing, and digging into their innate potential. She has formerly owned a professional organizing business called In Its Place and has a true appreciation and love for what organization can do, and often used her own catchphrase, create a better place in our space. She lives in Middle Tennessee with her ancient dog and not so ancient husband. That's good. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you, Marie. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, in today's episode, we're going to dig into a special personality assessment that I think a lot of people aren't very familiar with. Everyone tends to know the Myers-Briggs, but your personality program that you utilize is called Color Code.
Yes.
And so it's using colors to actually identify, not to pigeonhole them, I guess, but to just give them a category to be in. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And so with personality tests, before we dig into this particular one, I just want to, go over a little bit about what really they're trying to do. Are they trying to actually say, okay, this is your personality and this is the one you're stuck with? Or is it more about tendencies that you have had for a long time, but maybe not necessarily have to have forever? I don't know. I'm just curious as to what your philosophy is on the whole personality assessment thing.
Awesome, Maria. Thank you for asking. It's very interesting. I did my Myers-Briggs many years ago when I was a college student, and I remember thinking, this is me a little, this is me some. Same thing with DISC and StrengthsFinder. There are so many. In my opinion, one of the things that I always remind people about, even when they're taking the color code with me, is this does not define you. If you don't feel like you fit with all of that, it's perfectly okay because we were created as individuals. Mm-hmm. And that is the thing that I always try to keep in the space when I'm talking about color code is, this does not define you. What this does is it helps you to understand yourself better. And then the really cool part of it is it helps you to relate and understand the relationships around you, whether it's personal or professional. So that has always been my philosophy towards these personality profiles, is they help you to continue to develop your own emotional intelligence, your intelligence, your own self-awareness, and then it gives you some tools to really relate with others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like how you said that it's really an awareness of yourself, mm-hmm. and not only understanding how your interactions with others are, you know, based on their personalities and recognizing their other traits and personalities, but also, I guess in relationships, what you need from the other, right? So yeah. If you tend to need a certain way of hearing something, say, as an example, then you're aware enough to let the other person know, to let your partner know and say, hey, you know, you thought you told me this, you know, in a way that was clear to you, but to me it was not because I need this. So that's kind of how I like to utilize that assessment.
Yes, it's interesting because that is how I discovered color code. My husband and I were listening to a speaker and I looked at him and I said, I'm a red, you're a white, and this explains everything. And we have had a great laugh on that, but it really did bring to our communication a better language, a better way to understand why he is driven the way he is and the why I'm driven the way that I am. We have learned that we are complementary opposites. For many years up to that, we just felt like we were flat out opposing opposites. And there would be times when we were literally scratching our head trying to figure out what to do with the other one. And that is, to me, I overuse the word, what really made Color Code a game changer for me. It's what made me say, you know what, I want to get certified in this profile, because I saw the impact it had, not just on my personal life, but also on my professional experiences.
Okay. So then you got certified to actually assess and, you know, basically score these personality assessments that people take and then dive into it deeper with individuals?
Great question. So one of the things that I do is I typically will provide a link for someone to take it. It's automatically scored. And the piece to Color Code is called your driving core motive. That is, to me, the differentiator with this particular personality profile, because the acceptance is this is what you were born with. It's who you are. It's kind of your innate core. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't be different. It doesn't mean that character doesn't come into play. And that's something that I think is really important. Sometimes with these personality profiles, people will say, well, I am fill in the blank. And it almost gives that person a feeling of carte blanche in terms of behavior or actions, etc. Color Code doesn't do that. It recognizes that this is your driving core motive. And yet character is so important. Our character truly comes into play. So with your driving core motive, what you find out is your basic motive, and there are four colors, and we can go into that to whatever degree you would like. And then a lot of us are a combination, right? So there are some people that are one color, but most of the time we have a combination because our personalities are also very complex. And that is the piece that is so interesting. Where people get a lot of value is when they not only discover their driving core motive, but then often I will do a debrief. So that person has a chance to kind of walk through what insights they've gained, the questions that they have. And that's where it really, really gets powerful.
Okay. So that's really interesting. I think what I'm hearing, that core motive is what's a little bit different, maybe.
Yes.
So it's not necessarily your different quirks and tendencies that you have as a person, as an individual, but you know what your driving core value is. So, yes. Like I told you before we got on, is that I just took the test and I am a blue.
Yes.
And you can explain that a little bit to the listeners as to what my core value is.
Awesome. Thank you, Maria. So there are four colors. Now, I don't get all wrapped up in the color itself. It's just an easy way to differentiate and understand. And I will sidebar and say that is the other piece about this particular profile that I love, is it's easy to understand and easy to apply. And so you're not overwhelmed with a lot of complexity in the understanding of it. It was developed about 30 years ago, and the person who developed it was Taylor Hartman. Taylor is a psychiatrist, and he, bottom line, was trying to figure out how to help his patients better. So you have four colors. You have red, white, blue, and yellow. And just a quick overview, red, the driving core motive is power. Now, that often is seen as a negative for some people. So the way that I always like to present that is reds are your action takers. They are your doers. They are your people that are going to get you from point A to point B. White, their driving core motive is peace. Whites are all about steady state. If you're familiar with the term cognitive thinking, dissonance, disagreement, they hate it. They will always do whatever they can to get back to steady state. Whites offer tremendous clarity. They are your peacemakers. Where a white can sometimes struggle is that a white will go back to something that is not as good for him or her, rather than pushing through that cognitive dissonance to something even better. And that can take some time. Blues, like you, Maria, they are, their driving core motive is intimacy. Again, that's a word that people often think from a physical perspective, so I like to offer the word connection. Blues are all about connection. Blues don't like small talk. They want to connect. So they are your value people. They are people who are all about community. They're all about quality. And then we have yellow. Yellow's driving core motive is fun. For some people, that's a struggle. What I love about a yellow is another way to think about a yellow is they live in the moment. They are your optimists. They are the ones that you want at all your parties because they bring a lightness and an optimism and fun to the party. So those are the four colors: red power, blue connection, white peace, and yellow fun. And as I mentioned earlier, sometimes you're a combination. My combination can often be, again, for me, it was a game changer because it helped me to understand myself even more. It helped me to understand why sometimes I felt like a fish out of water. And even better, it helped my husband and I to communicate.
Yeah, and I think just knowing that, your core value is, when you are put into different circumstances throughout your day, whether it's at work or personal life or in any setting that may be uncomfortable or different, you could always kind of think back on, well, okay, you know, what's my natural tendency, right? My core value is this. So, you know, how can I use that power of knowing to help you through that situation and then maybe see the others in the situation for where they're coming from?
Yes, it's a great tool when you think about somebody making a decision. Mm-hmm. So a red is all about the do, get it done. If you want to kind of listen for cues, a red will often say, what is the end goal? Where are we going? Because red's going to get us from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. A blue is often going to need to think about it. Remember, a blue is all about value and quality and service and community. Now, where it can be a challenge for blue is they can often get into a term called analysis paralysis. They often can truly, if it can't be perfect, they don't want to do it at all. And that can be a struggle for a blue. So when you think about decision making, a white's going to be constantly thinking, how do I get through this so I can get back to my steady state? And a yellow is thinking, how do I look? Is this going to be fun? Are you putting me in a box? Where's my freedom? And so that has been, for me, such a phenomenal, powerful tool when I'm coaching clients or when I'm working with someone, because I get a feel for their comfort level, where they're driving from, and then it can help me relate to them and serve them even better.
Yeah, I definitely, when you were explaining the different colors, I could think of people I know who fit those particular categories. It was really clear to me who my friends, you know, where they fall, and other people that I know in my family. And it's just interesting now to think about that because of their core values, mm-hmm. to know why they are the way they are, and just understand it. I love it. Yeah. I think that's great. Now, I took the course earlier today, and I really struggled with some of it because it does ask you to remember back to your childhood and use those memories to respond to this. So that was a little bit of a struggle, being 52 and remembering back to elementary years.
Uh-huh.
So I did try and come up with little scenarios with friends and whatnot and family. But, you know, some of the questions, and they're not really questions, they're just, you know, what of these four words, which mm-hmm. ones resonate for you? And I tell you, a couple of them were a little challenging because they all felt sort of negative to me, and I didn't want to own any of them. So I struggled a little bit with a few of them, saying, well, okay, if I have to pick one, I guess this one is the close one.
Spoken like a true blue. I like that you brought that out. For a friend of mine who grew up a military brat, she moved a lot growing up. And so she really had seen the change for me in terms of interpersonal relationships, how I was able to understand and communicate better. And she kept saying, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with this. And so we started thinking about what her childhood was like. And one of the things that we realized was because she moved so much, she was constantly having to morph and figure out very quickly how to make friends and figure out the scene she was in and get along with others and so on. So she had to kind of settle that within herself. For someone who's a blue, they can often be incredibly analytical. And so they can spend a lot of time on those four words and spend a lot of time analyzing those four words where it sounds kind of cliche, but go with your gut. What feels like the immediate answer? For me, I remember scenarios in my childhood where I remember thinking, well, why did I not get along with that person? Why did I insist on doing something this way? Little things that that people would say to me. My late father had a phrase that he would say to me, they named a street sign after you, Kelly, one way. That wasn't necessarily a compliment. Now, the funny part of it is that he was not ever able to take the test before he passed. But we have both identified, I am my father's daughter, and we know what dad's color was. But that is something that continues to ring in my brain. It helps me to remind myself that when I do get rigid in my thinking, or when I do aim to my secondary color, which we can talk about, then I have to remember that phrase and remind myself that my way is not the only way, even if I think I'm right. So there is definitely some character building that I have had as well.
Yeah. Well, maybe I have a little bit of weight in me because sometimes I feel that way. Okay, so now before we go into the secondary colors, mm-hmm. I just want to say or ask, why is it that we're only looking at our personality back when we were younger and so much younger rather than current? Because I do feel like I have drastically changed my personality mm-hmm. over my lifetime. I mean, mm-hmm. I used to be incredibly shy and reserved. And, you know, here I am on a podcast now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I've grown a little bit and my personality isn't quite the same as it was when I was hiding behind my parents' legs, you know?
Sure. Yes, yes. You know, when you think about who you are today, I joke that those questions in color code are, for example, for me, who I am at my core before I learned how to get along better with others. I am a red, and we reds, when we're in our natural state, we come from a position of logic and we always think we're right. And we're all about doing. And what's interesting about that is when I look back when I was a child, think about your 10-year-old self. What were you like? Well, my 10-year-old self was organizing things. My secondary is a blue. My 10-year-old self was organizing things. My 10-year-old self was very verbal, constantly wanting to be involved and get something going, even with the kids in the neighborhood, form a club, direct something. I needed to lead, etc. Now, as an adult, I have learned that a strong personality like mine, sometimes I have to pull it back. Sometimes I have to recognize that that person that I'm speaking with or spending time with isn't necessarily ready to take action. They need to think about it more. They need to kind of assess the situation. They may need to enjoy the process. For me, arts and crafts, I hate them. I can't get them done right. I can't make them look like I cannot just necessarily enjoy the process. And those are the kinds of things that it asks you about your childhood before you allowed yourself to learn to have a filter, still working on mine at 51, as well as just get that core, what you're like in your natural state. There are people that can learn how to present to others. I've always heard that Aretha Franklin, what an amazing performer, what an amazing voice, but that she was actually highly, highly introverted and needed a lot of quiet time and needed a lot of personal alone time. Mm-hmm. That did not mean that she could not do what she did. I have someone that I know in a management position, and they're the same way. their natural personality is a one-on-one, spending time with maybe just one person. But it doesn't mean that they cannot lead people. It doesn't mean that they cannot get out in front of an audience or podcast. It just means that their natural, steady, normal state is this. And that is something I'm so glad that you brought out, because sometimes people have trouble reconciling that. The other piece of this is logic versus emotion. Reds typically come from a position of logic, blue, emotion, yellow, emotion, and then white, logic. When my husband and I are in a good, healthy space and we're both being grown-ups, our primary driving core motive, our driving main colors, come from a position of logic. Now, if stress comes into play, strong feelings, sometimes we may go toward our secondary, which is not as complimentary sometimes. Mm-hmm. So those things that you remember from your childhood, even when it's tough, like my yellow friend who traveled so much, once she started thinking through the different dynamics, then she was able to move forward.
Interesting. Yeah, thanks for explaining that. I was really questioning the whole time during the quiz. Like, okay, why am I thinking? Because these things might have been true, you know, then, but I don't think I'm that way now. But I think I am. So based on what you're saying, you know, I am at the core. And, you know, some of your examples, like, yep, that's me. Mm-hmm. That's me. So, okay, I get it. I relent.
I love that you're questioning it, though, because we always want to take a grain of salt and use our critical thinking, because, again, this does not define you. It gives you tools to better understand yourself. And not everything is going to apply, but I have never found anyone that says, nope, that's not me, has nothing to do with me. Sometimes it takes thinking a little bit about, oh, yeah, I kind of wanted to forget that. And again, that helps with our overall self-awareness.
Right. I just think that's the biggest key for doing something like this is to be able to recognize in the moment, or, you know, even if it's a little bit after and you're just doing some self-reflection, like, okay, where did that come from? Why did that happen? Why was I so worked up over this? Why did that bother me so much? And it's because, it was going against my core value. You know, if you just have that little bit of introspection, you know, within the situation or after, I think that is so helpful to help everyone to just grow from the experience and to see and recognize it maybe on the fly as it's happening, as you know, maybe get more familiar with who you really are at the core value level. So interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about those secondary relationships.
Sure. So when you have something, so I have some clients that are pure yellow. They are pure fun, being in the moment. They love that. Now, what's interesting about a yellow is they do want a little bit of structure. They need loose structure, but they do want a little bit of structure. And that is something that I want people to keep in mind should they choose to take this. If they come out, oh, you know what, 75% of me is yellow. That's good. It helps you to have a better understanding. If you are someone that has a combination, for example, I have a primary red driven by power, primary core motive, action. My secondary is a blue. Blues are about connection. Blues are about quality. Blues are about service. All right. So if you think about that, all about action, all about getting it done. Oh, but then we have the quality and service piece come into mind. Those two, particularly what I have learned in a time of stress, can battle each other. I'll give you a fast scenario. A few years ago, my very old 11-year-old Ford Taurus. There is nothing sexy about a Ford Taurus. Is it okay for me to say that? But Ethel was not a car payment, and Ethel was doing fine. And it got to the point where Ethel had a tie wrap inside the engine, so that the accelerator would not stick. That actually happened to me one night driving home on the highway. My accelerator stuck. Terrifying. So my mother and my husband sat down and said, it's time. You have been saving. It's time. It's time to replace Ethel. And subsequently, my husband, who's driven by peace, thank you, God, for bringing him into my life, had about 3 months of every Saturday visiting, I believe, every car dealership in Middle Tennessee, going on more test drives than he ever could imagine, only for me to pull into a dealership one night, see a red car, and go, I'm buying that one. And he looked at me like, what is happened to you, woman? What I was doing for those many months was I was going into my secondary blue, and not in the healthiest of ways. I was overanalyzing. I read every Carfax. I read every article on automobiles, and I really don't know any more than being able to put gas in my vehicle. And then there was that point where I think I was just ready to cut the cord. I bought a vehicle, judge me later, that had been a rental, that had some road rash on it. And again, my husband looked at me, he's a peacemaker, so he was going along with the flow, and that's the one I bought. And he, you know, in, so you can see where this could go into play. So that's why it's important to have a good understanding of your secondary, especially in a time of stress. With much, 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 much love to blues, during the season that we've been in, whatever you want to call it, blues have been the ones that sometimes are struggling, because a blue wants to control. And as you know, we're living in an environment right now where there is so little control. And so a blue often reach to control whatever they have. And I know in that secondary, I will do that. And when you think about control versus being controlled, a blue wants to control, a red wants to control, a white cannot be controlled, will actually shut down if you seek to control, and a yellow does not want to be controlled because it's all about freedom. And so understanding those pieces, particularly in a time of stress with your secondary, gives you a lot more insight into maybe why one day you could really quickly make a decision and knock it out, and another day or 3 months, you spend a lot of time analyzing it.
Yeah. Okay. It's so fascinating to me. I love how the interconnectedness of the different personality groups, and yes. How the secondary also can really work with or against you, your core. And so it's just really fascinating to me. I'd love to go deeper on my own personality with you. And so I know you are offering the color code assessment for free on your website, and I will be adding the link for people to head over there in the show notes so they can go and take their personality assessment. And if they want to go deeper, that's a little bit extra. But could you tell us a little bit more about what's involved in the diving deeper into the personality after they get their color?
Absolutely. One thing, when people get their color code, it is, again, depending on the person, you get a pretty long report. The report is over 20 pages long. Depending on that person's color, I can tell whether or not they've read that report or they've just said, you know what, I've skimmed it, now talk it through. And it is a tremendous amount of information. But just like anything else, you often want to take a deeper dive depending upon your scenario. So what I do in the debrief is I do another quick review of the colors. We talk about the strengths as well as the limitations of those colors. And one thing that I always want to bring out, I heard this from a speaker last fall, and I loved it, because depending on your raising, sometimes we were taught to work on your weaknesses, is another word, or your limitations. And for me, I learned a tool that somebody had alluded to me, but I didn't quite fully get it. And that is, maximize your strengths. And then here was the piece that I thought was so cool. Neutralize your limitations. Maximize your strengths and neutralize your limitations. So that's one of the things that we look at in the debrief. There's never any shame with any of this. There's never any, I'm bad, I'm wrong, I should be, shoulda, coulda, woulda. No, we're going to flatten that. We're going to look at, what are your strengths? What are those things that make you a tremendously beautiful, valuable person? Now, when your limitations come into play, how do we neutralize them? If you're a yellow and organization is not your jam, instead of beating yourself up, instead of always thinking about, oh, I wish I could, or I'm not any good at it, let's throw that out. let's think about what is the best tool for you to neutralize that limitation. Because guess what? A yellow does not need four different colored pens just to highlight a book. A yellow does not want, does that relate a little bit? A yellow does not want a workbook. A yellow is going to be like, what workbook? Oh yeah, I saw that somewhere in the back of my car. And that is where the debrief gets really powerful, is it helps that person think about, I want to capitalize on my strength of optimism and fun. And I wanted to figure out how to neutralize a limitation that may be hurting me in my professional life. I'll give you a real-time example. A yellow friend of mine had a very high-level client that she was doing consulting for many years ago. And she fully perceived, because yellows have that emotion piece, the client did not think she was taking them seriously because she learns by listening. She doesn't need to write things down. She observes and listens. She paid me $75 to come sit for an hour with her and her client, kind of pretend to be her secretary, and take notes. And it was remarkable the difference in the relationship she had with that client. That client's perception was that she wasn't paying attention because that client thought you should take notes if you're paying attention. That's where these debriefs get really powerful, is when you start to think about, what are my limitations? How do I neutralize it? She didn't all of a sudden become a fancy note taker. It's not who she is. She neutralized it, maximized even more on her strength of listening and observing, and was really able to serve that person even better.
Interesting. That's a great example of knowing your weaknesses and your strengths, and also that the other person you're interacting with also is perceiving things differently. So yeah, I can see how this would be incredibly valuable for even parents to understand, you know, the kid, like you, like your example a minute ago, like what workbook, you know, like I've had a kid who was like, I don't know what you're talking about. So understanding why that is the struggle for the one kid, but the other one, like all three, like I have three kids, all three personalities are so, so different.
Yes.
So you wonder how being raised with the same genetics and environment, how they can all be so different, right? Well, that's their core value differences. So, you know, if you can understand that as a parent, you can definitely tap into the strengths and help them recognize their own strengths as well, and then to limit those more limiting factors. So yeah, very powerful stuff.
Absolutely. I have a younger stepdaughter. She was 6 when I met her. She was 8 when my husband and I married, and always lived with us full time. She is much like my husband. She doesn't like confrontation, for example. I can probably tell, have a bit of a strong personality. And that is one of the things that I wish I had understood a little better when she hit those teen years, because she was not going to battle directly. And that was, if I had had a better self-awareness, a better understanding, I think there would have been some years there where the communication would have been better. I'm action-oriented. I'm achievement-oriented. And that was not necessarily, she had action and achievement orientation in other places. So I love that you brought out the parenting piece, because it helps you to understand. You look at those three children and you think, I know you all came from us.
Right.
What and I completely see that. My oldest stepdaughter has 4 children, and they are truly their own individuals. How you speak to them, it's kind of like if you've ever coached kids in sports, there are those children you can look at and you can go, what the heck were you thinking? You knew you should have caught that ball. Where were you? There's another person, another child, that if you were to say that, you've just devastated them.
Yeah.
And so this is, and the same thing on teams. If you work in a team, how do you manage a team? How you communicate isn't a one size fits all, because we as people are not one size fits all.
Yeah. I definitely think this would be valuable for teams, offices, just to understand who you're working with and how to bring out the best of each other in a team.
Yes.
So in the corporate world, this would be really valuable as well. So I assume you do a lot of that as well.
I love doing that. I love also doing this with college students. When I presented to college students, I've often done color code in the context of how to have a difficult conversation. And what makes that really powerful is we often have to remember, and again, at 51, I'm still learning, it's not about me. Mm-hmm. Not about me. It may feel tremendously personal, but if we're thinking about how we can better relate to that person, we've got to come around and figure out what their communication style is, where they are coming from. And so that emotional intelligence, EQ, whatever words you want to use, that is so powerful, particularly for young people. And it gives them a feel for, why is my boss act this way? They even talk about their boyfriends. And what's really interesting is when I've done this with college students, they say, well, that helps me understand my dad better. That helps me understand why my dad, blah, blah, blah. I have a coaching client who's in her mid-20s. And when she and I did her color code debrief the other day, she said, this helps me understand my dynamic with my dad. Because of COVID, she has moved home for a short period to help with finances and those kinds of things. And so she's working for her father, who is a business owner and incredibly driven. And we explored that in her debrief. We explored, where are they butting heads? Where are they kind of having these misunderstandings? And boy, is that powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if we could just get all the young people to, you know, understand where they're coming from, mm-hmm. how their reaction to others, it is just part of the miscommunication that is so prevalent out there in the world today,
yeah.
especially when there's so many differences and opinions about everything right now. you have to see, you know, where the other person's coming from. You have to understand what your gut reaction is, why you're having that gut reaction, but also why the other person is. And yes. if you can understand where everybody's coming from, it's just, I think it would be so helpful for people to just get through life. You're going to have interactions with other humans the rest of your life. And if you could just be empowered by some sort of information about where you're coming from and other people's core values, I think that's so empowering. So
yes.
thank you
yes.
so much for sharing all this fascinating information, and I just really had a good time talking about it, and I appreciate you being here today.
Thank you. It's been a joy.
After listening to this podcast today, I hope you have some useful takeaways and feel super motivated to get organized. But maybe you're at a loss with how to start or where to go next in your organizing journey. Wouldn't it be amazing to have me right there to guide you through the process when you're losing motivation or feeling stuck with what to do next? I may not live near you, so through the wonders of our modern technology, I can be right by your side. Virtually, of course. You heard me. I offer virtual organizing. Reach out to me through my website linked below, and we could schedule your first session today. Also, don't forget to reach out to me on social media with comments about an episode or a topic you would like covered in a future podcast. Links are below in the show notes. Go get your organizing on!